Hello! I'm very excited to announce that we now have merchandise for Bedtime Stories with R.A. Spratt. You can order t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, notebooks and coffee cups, all with the show's new logo on it. They look super cool, so check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes for the online store, or you can go to my website, raspratt.com, and click on the merchandise banner. So if you have been enjoying the stories, please do consider ordering something to support the show and help me keep kicking this can down the road. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Today's story is part two of Ant and Chelly Break Records. Here we go. Ant and Chelly set to work. They spent the rest of the day trying to break all sorts of world records. Somersaulting on stilts, juggling kittens while riding a unicycle. They made the kittens wear crash helmets, so it's perfectly safe. Number of stitches knitted while free-falling off a cliff into a pool of water. Longest distance a Brussels sprout is pushed with your nose over hot coals. Most bindies in your knees after falling off your rocket-propelled go-kart. Pointiest carrot sharpened with a pencil sharpener while rollerblading. And biggest splash when jumping into a vat of beetroot juice. But attempting all these world records proved harder than they imagined. By the end of the day, Ant and Chelly had failed to break any records. They were seriously disgruntled. "This breaking records is a lot harder than it looks in the book," complained Ant. "I think the people in the book must have cheated," said Chelly gloomily. "How?" asked Ant. His imagination wasn't as vivid as Chelly's. He struggled to think how you could cheat at growing a beard of bees. "I think they must have practiced," said Chelly contemptuously, "in some cases for years." "Oh," said Ant. That was not something he was prepared to do. "Or worse," said Chelly. "They're just naturally incredibly talented, like the human pretzel on page 63. I don't care how often I touch my toes or do side bends. I'm never going to be as flexible as him." "And I think some of them are just unnaturally patient," said Ant. He was thinking of the person with the world's longest toenails. "And having the world's fattest cat," exclaimed Chelly. "That's just luck." "And a lot of cat food," said Ant. "We can't afford that," said Chelly. "No," agreed Ant. "And there's no way we can beat all those people if they're going to cheat like that," said Chelly. "I guess there's just so many people in the world," said Ant. "It's no wonder it's hard to beat all of them." "That's it," cried Chelly, leaping to her feet excitedly. "It is," said Ant. "You're brilliant," yelled Chelly. "I am?" asked Ant. He'd never been accused of this before. "We're going about this all wrong," said Chelly. "There are 7 billion people on Earth. Of course it's too hard to beat them all and get a world record." "So we're going to give up and go inside and just watch television then?" asked Ant. "No," said Chelly. "We're going to get a world record, just not on this world." "What?" asked Ant. He was getting very confused. Apart from anything else, the pain from the 27 bee stings from when he tried sword dancing while wearing a beard of bees was really quite distracting. "If we travel to another world," said Chelly, "we can get all the records we want. In fact, we can get the record for the most number of records." "Huh?" Ant still didn't understand what she was rabbiting on about. "We are going to travel to Mars," said Chelly. "That's another world, and we're going to get all the records there. There's no life on Mars, except maybe subterranean bacteria, and they can have all the bacterial records. That's fine. We'll just get the rest." "All right," said Ant. It didn't seem any more far-fetched than winning a world record on Earth to him. And so they set to work again, this time building an interplanetary spaceship. Now, interplanetary spaceships are obviously quite complicated. There's a lot of physics, thermodynamics, and welding involved. But luckily, Dad was a hoarder, so they had a lot of junk in the back shed. And since recycling and repurposing is such an important part of helping the environment, they were able to put together a spacecraft in one afternoon while leaving barely any carbon footprint. They did have to call a halt at that point because it was dinner time, they were both hungry, and Mum got cranky if they were late for dinner. Ant got cranky if they were late for dinner. He was a growing boy and did not respond well to low blood sugar levels. So the launch was scheduled for the following morning first thing. Obviously after breakfast because it was Saturday and Dad always made pancakes on Saturday. But by 9:30 on Saturday morning, Ant and Chelly were both sitting inside the ride-on lawnmower that they had made into the cockpit of their spacecraft. "Are you ready?" asked Chelly. "Sure," said Ant. He didn't think he'd ever be ready, but he might as well get it over with. If it didn't work out, they'd still make it back in time for lunch. Worst case scenario, the launch didn't work at all, and they'd make it back in time for second breakfast. So there was nothing to lose. Okay, here we go, said Shelley. 3, 2. Hey, aren't you meant to start from 10, asked Aunt. We haven't got time for that malarkey, said Shelley. 1. She hit the go button, and the next thing they knew, they were sitting on top of a giant explosion that was hurtling them into the sky. Crikey, said Aunt. It worked. Of course it worked, said Shelley. You didn't doubt me, did you? Aunt didn't like to admit it, but actually he had a little bit. Now, I'm not going to bore you by describing their travel through outer space because, frankly, it was boring. Once you get used to the mind-blowing beauty of the stars and the stunning sight of Earth from space, it all gets tedious very quickly. It's not at all like in the movies. For a start, space is completely silent. No zoom or pew noises, unless you make them yourself, but you feel like an idiot if you do that. There's nothing to dodge or weave around because space is, for the most part, completely empty. As the name suggests, it's just space. There's nothing between Earth and Mars, so nothing exciting happened. So let's just get to the good bit when they landed. Luckily, the explosion that had been their launch was way more powerful than could be conceived, so they smashed through the atmosphere of Mars early in the afternoon and crashed into the surface just a few seconds later. They were both completely unharmed because Shelley had planned ahead and made them protective suits out of bubble wrap so they would survive the fall. She'd even made breathing apparatus out of fishbowls and scuba diving equipment. So once they'd unwrapped the bubble wrap, they were able to step out onto the surface of Mars. It was a bleak and desolate landscape. Red dirt, rock, and more red dirt and rock as far as the eye could see in every direction. It was weird to be standing somewhere with no trees or bushes or buildings or anything. It felt wrong. Right, said Shelley, let's get cracking. Cracking what? Asked Aunt. Records, said Shelley, reaching into the ride-on lawnmower and pulling out a big bin full of unicycles, juggling balls, samurai swords, pogo sticks, and bees' nests. Aunt had forgotten that that's what they'd come to do. Oh, okay, said Aunt, and they got to work. This was much easier. On Mars, they were soon smashing records left, right, and centre. True, Shelley only managed 3 jumps on her pogo stick before tumbling head over heels into a crevasse and smashing her nose on a rock, but that was 3 more than anyone else on Mars, so she thought that was good enough to claim the record. Ant had a hard time putting on his beard of bees. The bees were understandably cross about being forced to do interplanetary travel, so they'd gone into hibernation deep inside their hive. But Ant managed to coax out 1 bee and get it to sit on his face, but only after he lay on the ground and balanced it there carefully. But this was enough. He claimed the Mars world record. Shelley rode a unicycle 30 centimetres. Ant juggled 1 ball. Shelley had a fingernail 2 millimetres long. Ant did 4 push-ups. And they jotted all these things down in a notebook as new Mars world records. Things were going splendidly. Until a cloud started to form on the horizon. And I'm not talking metaphorically. I mean literally a real cloud. What's that? Asked Shelley. Aunt shaded his eyes and squinted off into the distance. It looks like dust. Shelley was watching it closely. If it's just dust, why is it getting closer? For the cloud was getting closer and bigger. It was moving faster and faster towards them. Shelley, said Aunt nervously, how sure are you that there's no life on Mars? 100%, said Shelley. But as these words left her mouth, the dust cloud was getting closer, and they could see more distinct shapes in the cloud, including the shapes of legs. Well, maybe more like 70%. The cloud was bowling towards them faster than a Lamborghini now. They could see lots of legs moving swiftly in different directions, and now arms swinging back and forth athletically. Actually, more like 5%, rapidly diminishing. Now the dust cloud was so close they could make out the features of faces. Okay, I'm going to call it, said Shelley. The only thing I'm 100% sure of is that I was wrong. The cloud came to an abrupt halt just a few metres away. Aunt and Shelley didn't even attempt to run. There was no point. They were looking at a group of Martians. And these Martians were clearly much faster, bigger and stronger than them. They had massive eyes the size of dinner plates, noses longer than cucumbers, and ears like lettuce leaves. And they didn't just have 2 legs, they had 8 legs each, as well as arms and hands with a dozen fingers. When he looked closely, Ant saw that each hand had 3 opposable thumbs. The biggest of the Martians stepped forward. Ant and Shelley tried not to cower. The Martian made an ominous guttural noise. But it turned out he was just clearing his throat. It then said, in perfectly enunciated English, "Greetings, you have been taken to our leader. The leader is me." "Wow," said Ant. "It's super convenient that you speak English," said Chelly. "We all speak 6 million different languages," said the lead Martian. "We like to have hobbies." "Oh, okay," said Chelly. A teacher had tried to teach her French once, and one lesson had made her feel like her brain had been beaten with a crowbar. But for once, Chelly was too polite to share what she was thinking. "What brings you to our planet?" inquired the Martian. Said Ant. He thought about the reason, and it sounded silly even to his own brain. Chelly was less self-conscious. "We just wanted to break some records," she explained. "We've got this book," said Ant, holding up the Book of World Records. "It's got all the records from Earth, but they're really hard to beat, so we thought we'd come here and get all the Martian records." The Martians all gathered around their leader as he held the book in his massive hands. He started to flick through the pages at super speed. He was apparently reading it, but much faster than any human could, and all the other Martians were reading over his shoulder. Finally, he reached the last page and snapped the book shut. "These are the greatest achievements of your kind?" asked the Martian. "Yes," said Chelly. The Martians all looked at the book, then they all looked at each other, and then they all burst out laughing. "But these achievements are so puny and weak," chortled the leader. "Holding your breath for 9 minutes, pogo jumping 17 kilometres, running a mile in 4 minutes, these things are all so easy to accomplish. And if you beat them, you get in this book." "Yes," said Ant. The Martians whispered amongst themselves for several seconds. Then they laughed some more. Then they turned back to Chelly and Ant. "Thank you for the wonderful laugh. You have lightened our spirits. We didn't have anything to do this afternoon. Now we will have wonderful fun." "You're going to read the book again?" asked Chelly. "No, we're going to travel to your planet and break all your pathetic records," said the leader. "It will be easy for us. Come, my people, let us build a traveling vessel and go at once." The Martians tore off, running towards the horizon. "Hey, wait up," said Chelly. She raced after them for a few paces before realizing how silly and futile a gesture this was. "We've got to stop them." "Why?" asked Ant. "We just do," said Chelly. So Ant and Chelly hurried back to Earth as quickly as they could. But it was no use. The Martians were faster at space travel too. When Ant and Chelly landed, the Martians were already everywhere, smashing every record they could find. Most plate spinning, longest bungee jump, tallest replica of the Eiffel Tower made entirely out of carrot sticks. They were even better at the records like growing fingernails, because they could just stare at their fingernails and will them to grow at whatever speed they liked. Ant and Chelly were devastated. "What have we done?" said Chelly. "We've ruined everything," said Ant. Just then they heard the throaty roar of an internal combustion engine with a poorly maintained muffler. Vroom! They looked up to see an enormous Triumph motorcycle riding down the road. The bike dramatically skidded to a halt right in front of them. "What now?" asked Ant. "Oh, I hope it's not aliens from Uranus," said Chelly. The rider took off their helmet and the kids were shocked to see the distinctive silver perm and wrinkly skin of the human they loved most. "Granny!" they cried, running forward to hug her. It took them about 90 seconds to explain the pickle they'd gotten themselves into. If only there'd been a record for explaining an intergalactic world record-smashing crisis, they would have won it then and there. "Kids," said Granny, "don't despair. I know you can handle this. You are special, and I mean that in a good way. I've travelled all around the world dozens of times, and you two are by far the weirdest children I've ever met." "Is this meant to be a motivational speech?" Granny asked Chelly, "because if so, it's coming across as a bit of a downer." "I'm saying you got unique skills," said Granny. "That's why I know you've got it in you to break the greatest world record of all." "Which one's that?" asked Ant. "The world record for rounding up Martians and getting them to leave your planet," said Granny. "She's right," said Chelly. "We've got to do it. If we don't stop these Martians, they're going to break all the world records in one day, and that'll be chaos for the record-breaking community." "But we're just kids," said Ant. "We don't know how." "Are you kidding?" said Chelly. "Look at what we've learned how to do in the last 2 days. Pogo jump, pip spit, somersault, fire breathing, squirrel juggling, bee whispering, and tightrope walking over crocodiles. We're perfectly trained for just this job." And so, once again, they set to work. Using the skills they'd learned in their attempts to break records, Ant and Shelley lassoed, juggled, encircled, trapped, wrestled, and cajoled the Martians into their own backyard. When they were finally corralled, they confronted the Martian leader and gave him a blank notebook. "What is this?" asked the lead Martian. "It's the Book of Records," said Ant. "For where?" asked the Martian. "Neptune," said Shelley. "Do you know how little gravity there is there? Breaking records will be so easy. You can write the book yourself." The Martians mumbled amongst themselves for several moments. Ant and Shelley crossed their fingers, desperately hoping that they'd fall for it. "Wondrous proposal," said the lead Martian. "Make haste, my people. Last one to the spaceship is a rotten egg." The Martians turned and raced off. "I don't believe it," said Ant. "We did it." "You kids can do anything," said Granny. "Thanks for the book, Granny," said Shelley. "I'm glad you liked it," said Granny, "but considering all the trouble it's caused, next year I might give you something safer, like a stick of dynamite, or a wild tiger, or both." "I'm glad our next birthday's a year away," said Ant. "I think I need the rest." And so Ant and Shelley did get the world record for saving the world from Martian invasion. Not many people know about it, though, because their photo was put on the page right next to the guy with the disgustingly long fingernails. And people are always too grossed out to spend long looking at that page. The end. Thank you for listening to support this podcast. Just buy a book by me, R.A. Spratt. There's a lot to choose from across the Nanny Piggins, Friday Barnes and Pesky Kids series, as well as the audiobook now of The Adventures of Nanny Piggins. You can order any of these things through your local bookstore or go to my website, raspratt.com, and click on the book depository banner. They've got all my titles and free international shipping. That's it for now. Until next time, goodbye.